Are there burdens in your past? Is your past a memory that binds you? Is there some pain that you've carried for too long? Then strengthen your heart with His good news. There is a Savior, and He's forgiven you.
Wow, those words to that song. I was born Deborah Ann King on January the 1st of 1961 in Baltimore, Maryland, to an 18-year-old Nancy Louise King, and I'm the oldest of her five children. I didn't have exactly what you'd call a normal childhood. I never met my biological father. Before I was in first grade, my mom had already been married three times. Her third husband was the father of my two sisters and one brother, and he did not like me. I was not his own, and it was very emotionally abusive towards me. However, my mom had enough sense to send me to my grandmother's house to stay while she abandoned everyone and headed to Oklahoma. We didn't hear from her for quite some time, and grandmother decided to send me down to an aunt and uncle who lived in Richmond, Virginia, to attend the second grade. The story continues. My aunt was a Jehovah's Witness, which was lots of fun. She impressed her many views upon me and forced me to attend the Kingdom Hall meetings. I was not allowed to celebrate birthdays or holidays. Again, it was a very traumatic and emotionally draining period of time for me. I came back to Baltimore to spend the summer between second and third grade with my grandmother. It was during this time period that my mom finally contacted us and told us that she was coming back to get me. Meanwhile, social services intervened and took my two brothers and my two sisters and my brother from their father. When mom showed up to get me, she was toting along a new baby brother and dad number four, and informed me that I would be moving to Seattle, Washington, where they now lived. Now, despite everything so far, Seattle was a very happy time for me. I attended elementary school. I had real birthday parties. I was a bluebird, which is the early stages of Campfire Girls. And I had a real family for the first time in my life. Dad number four treated me as his own and did everything he could to make me feel loved and accepted. We remained in Seattle for 2 years during my third and fourth grade. And then my grandmother in Baltimore became very ill, and we moved back to Maryland. More and more moving. I attended three schools in the fifth grade. At the end of the fifth grade, we moved yet again, this time to Harford County. I attended the same school in sixth and seventh grade, and it was during this summer break between seventh and eighth grade that I spent a lot of time in Betterton on the eastern shore of Maryland. This is where my stepdad's father and stepmom lived. I enjoyed that summer immensely. I learned to go fishing. I learned about birds and flowers. My step-grandmom taught me crafts and taught me how to crochet, and it was wonderful until the day that my grandfather cornered me in the shed and molested me. I never told anyone because I was afraid that they'd think I was lying. I also never spent another summer there, and at all costs, I avoided being alone with him. Sorry. Even though my mom and stepdad cared for me, I wasn't shown the kind of affection that a young person desires. I felt as though something was missing. Never in my life had my mom hugged me or told me that she loved me. The end of that summer rolled around, and we moved again. But this time we stayed put, and I was able to attend 8th through 12th grade and graduate from Joppatown High School. I loved high school, and I thrived in the art and music departments, where my teachers nurtured and encouraged me, and they instilled in me an appreciation of both art and music. I decided that I wanted to go to Shenandoah College and Conservatory of Music to major in music theater, because that was a real passion of mine. It was a good thing for me to be so involved in high school, because it kept me out of the house and busy, away from my mom and stepdad, who were both struggling with alcoholism by this time. In my senior year, I had a boyfriend who was the love of my life, or so I thought. We became involved in an inappropriate relationship, but for the first time, I actually felt loved. We were going to go to college and then get married. After graduation, Brad moved to Indiana to attend culinary school. I decided I really didn't need to go to school after all because, you know, I was going to get married. So after Brad had been in Indiana for 4 months, I went to visit to celebrate our birthdays in January. I was met with a rude awakening. He dumped me and I was devastated. For the first time in my life, I had known what it felt like to be loved, and now I wasn't. I came home from Indiana and entered into what I referred to as the dark years. I became involved in one inappropriate relationship after another. As the song goes, I was looking for love in all the wrong places. Sadly, this became the pattern of my life. I went out to the clubs and I drank, and I was never lonely again. After a year or so of that behavior and working in a department store, I decided to go back to Hartford Community College and major in art. While attending school, I was also involved in the music department, singing in a chorus and in a vocal jazz ensemble. I met a guy named Kenny. I was smitten, dropped out of school after a year, and got married. That lasted a whole 2.5 years. True to my nature, I quickly found another boyfriend within a couple of years. We were married. It was just prior to getting married a second time that I met Jesus. I was watching a television evangelist of all things, and it was the first time that I clearly heard the gospel presented, and I knew it was the truth. I began listening to Christian radio and growing in the Word. I heard the National Christian Choir on the radio all the time, and I aspired to sing in a group as wonderful and worshipful as they were. I had the opportunity to sing in the praise choir under the leadership of John Leon Lewis, and I did that for 2 full seasons and soloed at Christmas time. Chuck and I were happy until my daughter came along. We were married almost 5 years when Rebecca was born, but his dictatorial leadership, selfishness, and my dreaming of being a stay-at-home mom quickly caused issues in our marriage. After having a miscarriage when Becca was 5, things spiraled downward very quickly. Another 5 years of pretending passed, and then I finally found something that made a difference. In July of 2001, I began singing in the National Christian Choir under the strong leadership of Harry. As my marriage deteriorated, my brothers and sisters in the choir came around me and lifted me up. I felt stronger in my faith than ever. I knew the end of the marriage was inevitable because Chuck refused counseling and basically no longer wanted to be a part of our lives. After witnessing the emotional abuse that he was heaping upon my daughter, I found a friend with good living arrangements for Becca and I, and we moved out, but not before I made another terrible mistake. Once again, true to my nature, I did the unspeakable and became involved in yet another inappropriate relationship. This time I wasn't about to get away with it. Somehow, word got back to Harry, because Harry has ears everywhere. And being a true man of God, he confronted me. He gave me 2 options. End the relationship and continue in the choir, or leave the choir. He was concerned about the purity of the choir and worshiping with a pure heart. I ended the relationship and continued on to sing with the choir for a total of 10 seasons. Now my daughter and I were out on our own, and it was tough. I was able to purchase a townhome, but when the economy tanked, so did I. And after 4 years, we lost the home due to foreclosure. We moved into a rental townhome about 5 years ago. All the while, my job was becoming more and more stressful, taking more of my time and stealing more of my soul. I was becoming sick every day on the way to work and while at work. The only fulfillment I was getting out of my life was my love of music, singing, and my love of animals. I began doing some volunteer work for one of the local animal rescues, and the more I did, the more passionate I became. I got a part-time job working as a demo rep for a pet food company 3 years ago, and the more I interacted with animal people, the more I began to realize my true calling. Last May, all of the stress at work came to a head, and I had a nervous breakdown. The doctor put me out on medical leave for 10 weeks. I did a lot of soul searching and praying and asking God to show me what I was supposed to do. I truly believed he didn't want me to continue on with the stressful job and lifestyle that I had. He told me to trust him. So I did. I took that great, big, scary step of faith and trusted God. August the 23rd of 2013 was my last day of my job of almost 28 years. I just up and quit. I began working for a pet sitting company, continued on with the pet food company, and was looking for guidance on what else I was supposed to do. January 11th of this year, 2014, I began the next chapter of my life. I began training to become a veterinary assistant. The course is comprised of 10 sections of study, followed by a 90-hour hands-on externship in a veterinary hospital. I've completed the 10 sections of study with a 97.5 average, and this past week I began my 90 hours in the veterinary hospital. Once this is completed, I will take my final exam and, Lord willing, receive my certification as a certified veterinary assistant by the beginning of November. I'm not sure where God will lead me once my training's completed, but just as in the rest of this journey, I will put my trust in him and follow him. He's been opening doors and sustaining me through the hard times. One of my favorite scriptures has always been Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I know that he will lead me to my heart's desire.